ordinance actually is, and it is a ban from foreign buyers buying certain properties. But what happened when the government brought this in is they chose winners and losers. A place like Whistler that has a huge amount of foreign investment was for some reason exempted from the foreign buyers ban. But places like Sun Peaks, Silver Star, Apex, not certain about Revelstoke and Golden, did not receive that same exemption, so they were lumped in with the census or the metropolitan census unit of Kamloops or Vernon, for example, in the case of Sun Peaks and Silver Star. Because they're lumped into that metropolitan unit and they thought that the majority of employees would commute from the downtown areas to the resort to work, they didn't receive that exemption. So we have foreign dollars being invested in Canada, but not in the communities in our riding because the Liberal government chose winners and losers. Thank you.
Thank you, Mel. All right, our third question. In what timeline do you think the main commercial transportation routes across Canada should be updated to reduce long, accident, and closure-prone two-lane sections? This in particular applies to the federal sections of the highway in the national parks. And Phaedra, you're up first.
Thank you. Everyone in this region has a story about Highway 1. Accidents, long delays, detours through small towns like Chase, Sicamous, and Sorrento. And in the national parks, that highway is outdated, dangerous, and unacceptable in 2025. I've personally spoken to a Parks Canada employee and discussed his concerns and told them that I would look into this issue regardless of the election outcome. I personally drove on Highway 1 for over 4.5 years back and forth to Sicamous with many close calls with commercial transports almost having an accident. I, for one, want to make this a top priority if I'm the successful candidate. New Democrats have called for a national infrastructure strategy that prioritizes safety and builds for resilience. That means accelerating twinning projects and making sure federal routes, like the stretches to Glacier and Yoho, get the investment that they need. We'll support a Build Canadian plan that creates local jobs and ensures timelines that reflect the urgency of this risk. Unlike the Liberals and Conservatives, who would delay or cut funding depending on the year, we'll treat this like the priority it is.
Thank you, Pedro. Owen.
I'm conscious of the loss of two young lives in Malacca that this community has suffered recently, and enough is enough. There's been too many lives lost on Highway 1. The Green Party has a plan to institute a 10-year federally funded upgrade that includes twinning of all the key sections that have been raised in the question through national parks, et cetera. We want to ensure that highway system is stocked with electrical vehicle recharging options for people so that we can move to electrons and transport ourselves the way the world is moving to.
Thank you, Owen. Michael.
The People's Party of Canada believes in investing in essential infrastructure, not bloated bureaucracy. The Trans-Canada Highway is a critical economic and safety corridor that must be modernized. We would prioritize updating dangerous two-lane sections, especially in high-traffic areas like the national parks, within 5 to 10 years through streamlined approvals and efficient spending, understanding that in parks, there's natural habitat that must be considered, and so we want to make sure those things get done properly, but in an expeditious manner. We oppose endless delays from federal red tape and environmental overregulation. Canadians deserve a safe, efficient highway system now, not decades from now.
All right. Mel.
Thank you. Trans-Canada Highway is our major transportation corridor across the Rockies from Alberta to transport goods, but more importantly, they transport humans. Your family, my family, everyone goes back and forth, and unfortunately, too many of us have lost loved ones or have loved ones injured on that stretch of highway. I also met with the Parks Canada employee that their biggest concern from their union was that the safety of their members having to move from one community to another for their daily jobs. They have to travel from Golden to Field or from Golden through to Revelstoke, through the Glacier Park. They don't have a choice. They have to do that for their daily work. The truck drivers that go through there, they don't have a choice. They have to do that for their daily work. We would commit to improving that stretch of highway, and especially through the parks, as fast as possible. But we have to have realities around affordability as well. The big piece is the non-national parks piece is decided by the provincial government. They do the engineering, the planning, and when they're ready to move forward with a project, the federal government has stepped in with matching funding, and it was the federal government that matched the funding for all of the improvements east of Golden that have recently been completed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mel. Ken.
Yes, thanks. I believe this work is urgent both for safety and trade. Interprovincial trade has gained new attention following Donald Trump's trade war and tariff threats. This brings more attention to our roadways, as Mark Carney-led government will inject $5 billion into new trade diversification corridor fund to build the infrastructure that will help diversify our trade partners, create good jobs, and drive economic growth. This fund will accelerate nation-building projects at ports, roadways, inland terminals, airports, and highways. This will build a Canadian economy and diversify our trade away from the United States. With what our party's plan with respect to the... Oh, sorry. That's it. Thank you.
Okay.
Getting ahead of myself.
Thank you, Ken.
Sorry, folks.
All right. Question number four. What are your party's plans with respect to high crime rates and the catch and release that happens in so many cases? What would you advocate for when it comes to shoplifting and property destruction against local businesses? Oh, I can tell you who was first. Owen.
You got me. When I was a criminal prosecutor in Ireland, I had to deal with a situation where a young man, a 15-year-old, whilst imprisoned, had committed an assault on another inmate. And on my way to court, I had a certain opinion of what this young man would be like. Soon into the proceedings, the door crashed open and a man came in shouting at the police and was told to sit down and shut up. And that man was deeply inebriated at 11 a.m. and that was the kid's dad. And it turned my whole perspective on crime into wondering what is the background reasons why people end up in crime? How do we provide for mental health care? How do we make sure that people aren't falling off the edge of society? If we take away judicial discretion around bail and so on, we're not actually treating people humanely. And we have to remember that we can't slogan our way through crime. It's a complex issue that deserves our attention on a number of different levels. And so when you hear slogans like hug a thug or lock them all up, I can tell you from my experience that that doesn't actually help the situation, and that we need to go to things like how much housing is available to people, what about care for people who are addicted to drugs. So if we can go to the background of our societal challenges, then I believe we can address crime writ large.
Thank you, Wong. Mel.
Thank you. As I mentioned in my opening comments, the crime has been one of the top things that I've heard as a priority from the people right across this riding. We see it in Salmon Arm, the shoplifting, the issues that we're hearing about from business owners here, that basically there's thousands of dollars going out their doors that they can't seem to stop. I was recently made aware of the case in Lumbee, but I can't speak about it because to any extent about it because it's an ongoing investigation, where an individual was arrested in connection to the murder of a woman, was released on conditions and within 24 hours, and then within 24 hours was picked up in breach of those conditions again and had to be released again. We have to end that revolving door bail system. We've heard of cases in Vancouver where criminals are arrested three times for similar offenses in a 24 to 48 hour period. We have to enable our RCMP, the police, the court systems and the prison systems to manage and impose penalties so that there is a penalty for doing wrong. We've had too long a time where people do something that injures a victim, but they pay no recourse themselves. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mel. Phaedra?
Thank you. People in our communities deserve to feel safe, and small businesses deserve protection from theft and vandalism. But fear-based slogans like catch and release don't actually fix the problem. My son, who works for a local business, is constantly having to deal with this on almost a daily basis. He's told us stories about the interactions he's had with the homeless. I've been very worried for his safety and for the safety of his colleagues and the citizens that reside in the immediate area. The Conservatives fired 1,100 border officers and cut $600 million from the RCMP. That made it easier for guns and drugs to flow in and harder to support enforcement here on the ground. The NDP will reverse those cuts, fund community-based crime prevention programs, and ensure officers and supports are available when they're needed. We'll also tackle the root causes like poverty, mental health, and housing, so fewer people fall into desperation in the first place. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Ken?
Yes. So we will strengthen our law enforcement and justice systems to fight organized crime and trafficking, better protecting families and children, and stop the flow of drugs and guns from the U.S. border. We'll recruit 1,000 more RCMP personnel and create new RCMP Academy in Regina. We'll also increase pay for cadet recruits, increase funding to the Public Prosecutor Services of Canada to increase capacity to prosecute more drug production, trafficking, and importation offenses. Toughen the criminal code and make bail laws stricter for violent and organized crime, including especially for repeat offenders. Invest in our first responders, such as firefighters, paramedics, border service officers, parliamentary protection officers, and search and rescue, and increase funding for their mental health supports at the same time. Taking specific measures to crack down on sexual violence and intimate partner violence, including making hate-motivated murders, included femicide and constructive first-degree murder offenses. Raising the penalty for the distribution of inmate intimate images without consent, making it a criminal offense to distribute non-consensual sexual deep fakes as well in the age of AI. Train 1,000 new CBSA officers to crack down on drugs, including fentanyl and its persecutors, illegal drugs, guns. Stop gangs from stealing cars and smuggling them out of our country.
That's time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ken. And Michael.
The People's Party of Canada is committed to ending catch and release policies that embolden criminals and punish victims. We believe in restoring law and order by giving police and courts the tools they need to keep dangerous offenders off the streets. We would reform the bail system to stop the revolving door of repeat offenders. Enforce mandatory minimum sentences for violent crime and treat property crimes like shoplifting and vandalism as serious offenses, not minor nuances. Local businesses are the backbone of our communities. The PPC stands for real consequences for crime and zero tolerance for those who destroy what Canadians have worked hard to build.
Thank you, Michael. Don't go far. You're coming up next. Question five, what are your party's plans in caring for freshwater sources with the increase in the spread of invasive species such as the zebra mussels threatening to impact BC lakes and rivers? Michael.
The People's Party of Canada believes protecting Canada's freshwater is a national priority, especially when it comes to invasive species like zebra mussels threatening BC lakes and rivers. We would work with provinces to ensure rapid response protocols, border inspections, and stronger enforcement at watercraft checkpoints to stop the spread before it starts. We support science-based, locally-driven solutions rather than top-down mandates from Ottawa. By reducing bureaucratic delays and putting resources directly into prevention and lake monitoring, we can protect ecosystems, tourism, and drinking water without growing government for its own sake.
you, Michael. Ken, you're up next.
Yes, thank you. Mark Carney-led government will protect our fresh waters, including by investing $100 million in our Strategic Water Security Technology Fund to advance Canadian R&D, AI, monitoring, and data tools, clean up and maintain and protect wildlife in and around our coastal waters, including by investing an additional $15 million to modernize the location retrieval and responsible disposal of ghost gear, threatening marine life, mammals, and birds, and also conserve nature and biodiversity, including by creating the 10 new national parks and marine conservation areas and 15 new urban parks as well, bolstering Indigenous stewardship, including by establishing a new Arctic Indigenous Guardian program and funding Indigenous-led conservation and protect projects. Protect nature where it protects us, including by implementing nature-based climate solutions which deliver measurable carbon sequestration and biodiversity benefits while supporting community resilience. It takes also working with the provinces and territories when it comes to this, but also municipalities. We need to listen to scientists, first of all, because this is where we need to do our research in regards to how do we effectively eliminate this in a good way. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mel, you're up next.
Thank you for this question. I've been involved in trying to prevent invasive species since before I was elected. Years ago, when I was with the local fish and game club, we had invasive fish planted in our local fishing lakes here. It took 7 years from the time we first wrote the first letter from the club for the government to actually start to take action. When I was elected in 2015, I immediately started work on the aquatic invasive species issue, the zebra and quagga mussels, that are a potential threat to our entire water ecosystems here in the province. We've been lucky so far, and I mean lucky because they've actually stopped boats at the border that were infested, that were headed for the Shuswap system. So the Liberal government has cut the federal funding for that, and when they cut it, they only inspected half the number of boats. So what did they find? They only found half as many that were infected. That tells me that possibly the other half got through. 80% of the federal funding for invasive species, aquatic invasive species, is spent on two species in the Great Lakes, sea lamprey and Asian carp. The remaining 20% is spread across the rest of Canada. I've been advocating for fair and equitable funding for aquatic invasive species since 2015. This government has ignored it ever since. Thank you.
Thank you, Mel. Phaedra.
Thank you. The lakes and rivers in this region, from Shuswap Lake to Adams Lake, aren't just beautiful. They're vital to our economy and way of life. Zebra mussels and other invasive species pose a serious threat to tourism, agriculture, and Indigenous stewardship. The NDP will increase federal funding for invasive species response and support Indigenous-led water monitoring efforts. We'll ensure federal infrastructure funds include strong protections for our water sources, and we'll fight to make polluters, not communities, pay for environmental damage. This is about safeguarding our natural heritage for the next generation. We don't have time for delays or watered-down plans. Thank you.
Thank you, Phaedra. Owen.
I wish I was as knowledgeable as Mel going back over the years. My introduction to this issue was a huge billboard outside Kelowna that told me that there was a problem at all. But leading on from that, as a result of this question, I learned that there is something called the Canada Water Agency, and that billboard is an example of how that agency could work to inform travelers from Alberta and BC that the issue is there and it's very real. The Canada Water Act is due a major uphaul or modernization, and from that there will be a freshwater action plan that the Green Party would support to address this issue.
Thank you.